Well, good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milton. I'm really glad that you're here today, and I want to pause just to make sure you get that. I am glad that you are here today. You are wanted, you are welcome, and you are needed here. So, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Today we're going to start a new series. Not too long ago I was reading in Isaiah and I came across this beautiful verse and it describes some of God's amazing, precious names. It's Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And I was sitting there, I was like, you know, I think it would be really cool to write a Christmas series based on these four names that God put in his word in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 for us. And so that's going to be the theme of our series, is this verse right here, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Because names are important. Would everybody agree that names are important? Would everybody agree that that a good name is pretty important? All right, I do as well, I agree. But before we get serious, I thought we would take a moment to smile and laugh. I know some people think that laughing in church is heresy and totally not acceptable, but I couldn't disagree more. I think laughter is good, and I think it doesn't matter whether we're at church or where we're at, we should be able to laugh and enjoy, because God put that laughter and joy and desire for joy in us. Amen? So, are you ready to smile and laugh for just a moment? Be a little fun? I want you to consider the Mann family. We're talking about names. The Mann family. They named their daughter Anita. some of you may have to go home and think about that one for a while. Right? Or how about this one? Eileen. Right. Awkward, right? What's your name? Eileen Wright. What about left? How about this one for self-confidence? Young lady was named Lois Price. And perhaps my favorite is Helen. Helen grew up and she got married, and she married a guy with the last name of Back. And after about 10 years of marriage, he thought, well, anyway, let's get on to our declaration, our family declaration. If you'll help me recite this, we'll jump in with scripture. Some of you are going to take these home and think about them. I'm like, well, I don't get it. Everybody ready? Helen, back. Okay, here we go. Everybody ready? Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Again, if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to open to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We're going to look at this verse. We'll be looking at this each week during this month. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God, in your holy presence, I pray that we would, in the midst of smiling and laughing and having fun, God, I pray that your sweet Holy Spirit would move powerfully in this place today. In all of our hearts, that you would take this message and you would hand deliver it into each and every life in the exact way that it's needed. It's the most amazing, wonderful, coolest thing about your word, is when we're in your house and your preacher is anointed and the word comes out, you can deliver a very specific message to each and every one of us that was handcrafted for each and every one of us. And I pray, believing that that's what you're going to do today, and I pray that you would blot me out and make me nothing, that we may make much of you, King Jesus. Scripture says he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Listen, 700 years before Jesus is born, This scripture is written about Jesus. He's talking about God in human flesh. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. And yet he created you and me. And he cares for us. And he loves us. And he knows what we're going through. Therefore, he is entitled, he is qualified to be our wonderful counselor. I love the way the New Testament writes this in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 15. It says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Do you see the certainty of declaring that scripture? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we will find help when we need it most. Jesus Christ is our high priest, our wonderful counselor, and he has been through what we're going through. He's been tempted, like scripture says, he was tempted in every way like we are and so much more, yet he never sinned, not once. He understands our pain. He understands our hurt. He understands what we're going through because he's went through it himself. And he came for us. He didn't come for those who have it all together or think they've got it all together. He came for train wrecks like me. And I'm so glad he did. Amen? I love the story in the Bible where it talks about where Jesus calls this crooked, corrupt tax collector to be one of his disciples. And I think about that. You know, 1 Timothy 1:15, that's mine, right? "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all." Right? There's a story, and Jesus calls this corrupt tax collector to be one of his disciples, Matthew. And Matthew is over the top with joy. He is so happy, so excited. He can't believe it. He throws this great big party. All of his corrupt friends to come because he wants them all to meet Jesus. You've got to meet this guy. He loves me just for who I am, right? And so he's so excited. But the religious folks of the day, they're not all that impressed. Because these guys, I mean, they don't even know how to drink their tea properly, right? They throw wild parties. They listen to loud music. They watch rated R movies. And sometimes some naughty words come out of their mouth, right? How in the world, Jesus, could you associate with and eat with such scum? That's what they said. That's what they said. Look at his reply in Luke chapter 5 in verse 31. Luke chapter 5 in verse 31. Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." Jesus is the wonderful counselor who came for the sick. And so I'm curious, where are you sick? Where do you hurt? Because of sin, we're all in this boat together. Because of sin, we're all sick and broken and in need at some point, at some level. Okay? So where are you sick? Is it anxiety that you deal with? Is it anger? Is it depression? Is it fear? Is it stress? Is it finances? Is it marriage? Is it other relationships? Is it worry? What is it for you? Acknowledge yours. Acknowledge where you're sick this morning. Acknowledge where you hurt this morning. And remember that we have the wonderful counselor. His name is Jesus, and he came for you. He came for me. He came to make us well. Amen? So how do we find healing with this wonderful counselor that we have, that we read about in Isaiah? How do we find wholeness and healing? A few things, three specifically, that I want to talk about. And the first one is this: we must be honest with the counselor. Okay? You go to a counselor, you're like, and you tell a bunch of lies, what are you doing? You're wasting money. Right? Step one. We, as our wonderful counselor, Jesus, we must be honest with him. We must be honest and reveal where we're sick. We must be honest and reveal where we hurt. We need to be brutally honest with him. And to be honest, many of us aren't. We're just not. I mean, it's one thing to fool each other. Like, we have all probably fallen prey to this one. How you doing today? Good, 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 good. And inside, you're dying. Why? Because we go and appear to have it all together? Because we're afraid somebody will think less of us? Because we're afraid we'll find out who our friends really are and they really don't care? It was just a polity. It's just something polite to ask. How are you doing today? You know, what's interesting to me, this is totally free, by the way. It's interesting to me, and I find myself guilty too. It drives me nuts. You're walking by someone and you'd be like, hey, how's it going? And by the time they respond with good or terrible, you're 15 feet down the hallway or down the road or whatever. Did I really want to know how they were doing anyway? Because sometimes that's the response, and I'm thankful. Do you really want to know? Yeah, right? Anyway, we must be honest with the counselor. And the problem is, for so many of us, so much of the time, we're just not honest. There's this awesome story about brutal honesty in the Bible. I just love this story as well. It's a story, it's a powerful story. It's about a woman, just a person like you, like me. And she just wanted to be loved. She just wanted to be accepted. And she just thought that if she just found the right person, then her life would have meaning. And she could truly be happy. And so she went from man to man, from marriage to marriage. Evidently, she gave up on marriage because she's currently living with a guy she's not married to. And one day she goes to the well to get water. And along comes Jesus, the wonderful counselor. And they engage in some serious conversation. And at some point, Jesus then tells the woman to go get her husband. Now, this is the pivotal point of the story. This is the pivotal point, because she could have said, my husband's not feeling very well today. Today probably wouldn't be a good day. She could have said, you know, my husband's really busy. He doesn't have time for this small talk stuff. She could have said, my husband's out of town on business, and lied. And who knows how this story would be written today. But the pivotal point is, she chose to be brutally honest. In John chapter 4, in verse 17, she said, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. From that pivotal point of brutal honesty, Jesus was able to communicate to her that he was all that she had ever needed. That he was the true water that would last forever and satisfy forever. That in him is where she finds true love and acceptance. Some of you right here, right now, this morning, that's what you need to be. You need to be brutally honest with your counselor. If you're struggling with your faith, tell him. If your marriage is swirling the tank, tell him. If you're addicted to something, tell him. If your finances are in trouble, tell him. Listen, we're not telling him anything he doesn't already know. But he longs for this koinonia, for this relationship, for this intimacy. I'm learning so much more in the last few years of my life just to cast all my cares on him. People are asking me questions even this morning. Kids are texting me with things, and just put it this way. I'm just saying, you know what? I'm trusting God. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm trusting God. He's got it figured out. He just hasn't let me know yet, and I'm okay with that. I've been learning to cast my cares on him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 is one of those popular ones for many of us know and grab a hold of. It says, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? For he cares about you. Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22 says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. Listen, it all begins with honesty. It all begins with the first step is to be brutally honest and tell the wonderful counselor where you're sick, where you're hurting. Be honest. Has everybody got that? Say yes, preacher. Awesome. Okay. So we must be brutally honest with him. And then step number two, we must listen to the counselor's voice. We must listen to the counselor's voice. God himself gave this point. He's the one who gave me this point right from scripture. The story in the Bible, again, there's this incredibly cool picture. The story where Jesus takes three of his disciples up onto a mountain. And then God does this crazy cool miracle that we call the transfiguration. Where Jesus is like shining, right? He's got a glow about him, like literally glowing. And the disciples are like, whoa, this is so cool, right? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Moses and Elijah are standing there with the glowing Jesus. And the disciples are like, wow, this is awesome. Hey, you know what, guys? We need to build them a shelter. We need to build an altar for these three. And then just like that, as fast as they appeared, Moses and Elijah disappear. Now watch, when God had these disciples' attention more than he ever had in their entire lives, right? While he's got their total attention, see how important it is what God has to say to them. It's like he is causing this great big scene to get their attention, and he's going to tell them something paramount, something so important that they don't want to miss it. While he has their attention, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved son. Listen to him. Say that with me. Three words. Listen to him. One more time. Listen to him. Now, if there's any three words that you and I need to hear and put into practice today, it's listen to him. Okay? So you're like, okay, great. How does God speak to me? What am I listening for? What does this look like? I'm curious. You got me ready to go. How do I hear from God? And that's a great question. Because God will often communicate and speak to us in a number of ways. God will speak to us directly from His Word. Every day when you open it up, you ought to just, I would recommend that you just quote that Psalm 119. It says, open my eyes and help me to see the beautiful instructions, beautiful truths from your instructions. God will speak through His Word. It amazed me sometimes. I could, like, right now, He'd probably just do something that'd make me forget the rest of my sermon if I did this, right? Where I'd just open it up and be like, that's exactly, you know? He is just, God will speak to you through His Word. Sometimes God will speak to you through the anointing of God's preacher. And He'll tell you things through the message that you need to hear. Are you listening? Church? Okay, all right. Sometimes He'll speak to you through the worship songs. Sometimes He'll speak to you through that person sitting next to you. Sometimes He'll speak to you through your kids. Sometimes He'll speak to you through devotions or even life circumstances. For me, I find a lot of times God speaks to me through the silence. Like sometimes I hear so much noise. And sometimes I'm a glutton for punishment and I inflict this noise upon my life. And God's like, yeah, stop whining. I'm still speaking. You're just not listening. You got to get away into a quiet place and a quietness. And sometimes that's where I find God speaking most to me is in the quiet. But He'll speak in a number of different ways and venues and situations. Our job is to be brutally honest and tell Him where we're sick and where we're hurt, where we hurt. And then we must listen to what He says to us. John chapter 10 and verse 27. Listen. When you hear His voice, it should just cause a calmness to flow through you because of what this says right here. My sheep. Jesus is talking here. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. When you hear His voice, just take a deep breath at the comfort of knowing that you're one of His sheep. Amen. We must be honest with our counselor. We must listen to what the counselor says, to his voice. And number three, and just as important, maybe even more, most important, is we must obey the counselor. We must obey the counselor. When he speaks, we must do what he says. Even when it's not convenient. Even when it's not timely, even when it's not popular, even when it hurts, even when we don't understand it, even when we don't like it. Because truth of the matter is, oftentimes God will ask us to do some things that we really don't want to do. Right? Sometimes His prompting is just like, are you kidding me? I'm sorry, I'm just being honest with y'all. Right? I'm starting step one, being honest. Sometimes when God tells me to do things, I'm like, no, right? Sometimes God will ask us to do some things that we're not necessarily excited about doing. In Mark chapter 10, there's another story about this, about the decision of being honest, of obedient or not. In Mark chapter 10, there's a story of this rich young guy. He's a moral fella. He's got morals, but his possessions, the things of the world, have a grip on him. If he were alive today, he'd be the kind that would be all about his appearance. He'd be the guy that's all about his stuff, like his cars and his house and his toys. And be like, check me out. Look at all the stuff I got. Look how famous I am. Look at what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look at what I have. Right? This kind of person wouldn't surrender their heart to Jesus because their heart already belongs to their stuff. Does everybody follow me? But this rich young guy, for whatever reason, he comes up to Jesus and he asks him a question, this very pointed question. He says, what must I do? Now, I'm a little bit more special than the rest of these common folk. That's how sometimes I read into this story. I mean, I realize what you say most people have to do, but what must I do to inherit eternal life? You read it? You see it? And Jesus says, go and do this and that. Rich young guy was like, check, check, got it. I've been doing all that since I was a youth. Got it. And Jesus, one more thing. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. And the rich man was deflated. He was perplexed at best. He was not liking what the counselor had to say. And so he walked away. He walked away from Jesus because he had lots of stuff. And his stuff had him. I'm not coming against riches. I'm not saying it's wrong to have stuff. I'm saying it's wrong when stuff has you. Everybody hear me? This guy walks away from Jesus because he had lots of stuff and his stuff had him. He didn't like what the counselor had to say, so he made a choice. See, Jesus is opening up. He's like, I see where you're sick. I see where you hurt. Here's the cure. I'm speaking to you and telling you what you need to do. Now that third step was up to the rich guy. The third step's up to you. He's a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way upon you. He's going to leave you with some choices to make. You either choose to follow him or you choose to not follow him. There's no gray area. You're like, I'm just going to hang out here. You either for God or you're against God. You're either obedient or you're disobedient. There's no partial. Partial obedience is disobedience. Everybody see that? He leaves us with this choice. What you going to do with it? Are you going to be obedient or are you going to not? I don't know how to say this with any more passion and grace and kindness than this. As long as we choose to hide our stuff, our sickness and our hurt from God, as long as we decide that we're not going to listen to what he has to say, and as long as we decide we're not going to be obedient to what he has to say, we'll continue to live unfulfilled lives. Lives void of happiness and peace and prosperity and joy and happiness and contentment. And we'll continue to break the heart of God. This is truly between you and Jesus. It's not you and the person next to you. It's not you and me. It's strictly, completely between you and Jesus. You must find fulfillment in him and him alone. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, these words were written about Jesus for us. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He is our Wonderful Counselor. And he wants us to be brutally honest with him. He wants us to listen for his voice and find that place where we can hear his voice clear and plain and loud. And he wants us to practice what James says, and that's just not to hear it, but to obey what it says. Our wonderful counselor calls us to be honest, to listen to his voice, and be obedient to what he suggests. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a true recipe for peace and joy and contentment in this Christmas season.